Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our read aloud. This will be the last read aloud of Wonder. I should be able to finish it in this recording. if you're following along in a book, I'm on page 302 at the chapter titled Take Your Seats, Everyone. Jack and I walked right behind a couple of sixth graders into the building and then followed them to the auditorium. Mrs. G was at the entrance, handing out programs and telling kids where to go. Fifth graders down the aisle to the left, she said. Sixth graders go to the right. Everyone come in, come in. Good morning. Go to your staging areas. Fifth graders to the left, sixth graders to the right. The auditorium was huge inside. Big sparkly chandeliers, red velvet walls, rows and rows and rows of cushioned seats leading up to the giant stage. We walked down the wide aisle and followed the sign to the fifth grade staging area, which was in a big room to the left of the stage. Inside were four rows of folding chairs facing the front of the room, which is where Miss Rubin was standing, waving us in as soon as we walked in the room. "Okay, kids, take your seats," she was saying, pointing to the rows of chairs. "Don't forget, you're sitting alphabetically. Come on, everyone, take your seats." Not too many kids had arrived yet, though, and the ones who had weren't listening to her. Me and Jack were sword fighting with our rolled-up programs. "Hey, guys." It was Summer walking over to us. She was wearing a light pink dress and, I think, a little makeup. "Wow, Summer, you look awesome," I told her, because she really did. "Really? Thanks. You do too, Augie." "Yeah, you look okay, Summer," said Jack, kind of matter-of-factly. And for the first time, I realized that Jack had a crush on her. "This is so exciting, isn't it?" said Summer. "Yeah, kind of," I answered, nodding. "Oh man, look at this program," said Jack, scratching his forehead. "We're going to be here all day." I looked at the program. Headmaster's opening remarks, Dr. Harold Jansen. Middle school director's address, Mr. Lawrence Tushman. Light and day, middle school choir. Fifth grade student commencement address, Yamena Chin. Pachelbel, Canon in D. Middle school chamber music ensemble. Sixth grade student commencement address, Mark Antoniak. Under pressure, middle school choir. Middle school dean's address, Miss Jennifer Rubin. Awards presentation, roll call of names. "Why do you think that?" I asked. "Because Mr. Jansen's speeches go on forever," said Jack. "He's even worse than Tushman." "My mom said she actually dozed off when he spoke last year," Summer added. "What's the awards presentation?" I asked. "That's when they give medals to the biggest brainiacs," Jack answered, "which would mean Charlotte and Imeno will win everything in the fifth grade, just like Charlotte in the fourth grade and in the third grade." "Not in the second grade?" I laughed. "They didn't give those awards out in the second grade," he answered. "Maybe you'll win this year," I joked. "Not unless they give awards for the most C's," he laughed. "Everybody take your seats," Miss Rubin started yelling louder now, like she was getting annoyed that nobody was listening. "We have a lot to get through, so take your seats. Don't forget, you're sitting in alphabetical order. A through G is in the first row. H through N is in the second row. O through Q is in the third row, and R through Z is in the last row. Let's go, people." "We should go sit down," said Summer, walking toward the front section. "You guys are definitely coming over to my house after this, right?" I called out to her. "Definitely," she said, taking her seat next to Jimena Chin. "When did Summer get so hot?" Jack muttered in my ear. "Shut up, dude," I said, laughing as we headed toward the third row. "Seriously, when did that happen?" he whispered, taking a seat next to mine. "Mr. Will," Miss Rubin shouted. "Last time I checked, W came between R and Z, yes?" Jack looked at her blankly. "Dude, you're in the wrong row," I said. "I am?" And the face he made as he got up to leave, which was a mixture of looking completely confused and looking like he's just played a joke on someone, totally cracked me up. A simple thing. About an hour later, we were all seated in the giant auditorium waiting for Mr. Tushman to give his middle school address. The auditorium was even bigger than I imagined it would be, bigger even than the one at Via's school. I looked around and there must have been a million people in the audience. Okay, maybe not a million, but definitely a lot. Thank you, Headmaster Jansen, for those very kind words of introduction, said Mr. Tushman, standing behind the podium on the stage as he talked into the microphone. Welcome, my fellow teachers and members of the faculty. Welcome, parents and grandparents, friends and honored guests. And most especially, welcome to my 5th and 6th grade students. Welcome to the Beecher Prep Middle School graduation ceremonies. Everyone applauded. Every year, continued Mr. Tushman, reading from his notes with his reading glasses way down on the tip of his nose, I am charged with writing 2 commencement addresses, one for the 5th and 6th grade graduation ceremony today, and one for the 7th and 8th grade ceremony that will take place tomorrow. And every year I say to myself, let me cut down on my work and write just one address that I can use for both situations. Seems like it shouldn't be such a hard thing to do, right? And yet each year I still end up with 2 different speeches, no matter what my intentions. And I finally figured out why this year. It's not, as you might assume, simply because tomorrow I'll be taking an older crowd with the middle school experience that is largely behind them, whereas your middle school experience is largely in front of you. No, I think it has more to do with this particular age that you are right now. This particular moment in your lives that, even after 20 years of being around students this age, still moves me. Because you're at the cusp, kids. You're at that edge between childhood and everything that comes after. You're in transition. We are all gathered here together, Mr. Tushman continued, taking off his glasses and using them to point at all of us in the audience, all your families, friends, and teachers, to celebrate not only your achievements of the past year, Beecher middle schoolers, but your endless possibilities. When you reflect on this past year, I want you to look at where you are now and where you've been. You've all gotten a little taller, a little stronger, a little smarter, I hope. Here, some people in the audience chuckled. But the best way to measure how much you've grown isn't by inches or the number of laps you can now run around the track or even your grade point average, though those things are important to be sure. It's what you've done with your time. How you've chosen to spend your days, and who you have touched this year. That, to me, is the greatest measure of success. There's a wonderful line in a book by J.M. Barrie, and no, it's not Peter Pan, and I'm not going to ask you to clap if you believe in fairies. Here, everyone laughed again. But in another book by J.M. Barrie called The Little White Bird, he writes, he started flipping through the small book on the podium until he found the page he was looking for, and he put on his reading glasses. Shall we make a new rule of life? Always try to be a little kinder than is necessary. Here, Mr. Tushman looked up at the audience. Kinder than is necessary, he repeated. What a marvelous line, isn't it? Kinder than is necessary. Because it's not enough to be kind. One should be kinder than needed. Why I love that line, that concept, is that it reminds me that we carry with us, as human beings, not just the capacity to be kind, but the very choice of kindness. And what does that mean? How is that measured? You can't use a yardstick. It's like I was saying just before. It's not like measuring how much you've grown in the year. It's not exactly quantifiable, is it? How do we know we've been kind? What is being kind anyway? He put on his reading glasses again and started flipping through another small book. There's another passage in a different book I'd like to share with you, he said. If you'll bear with me while I find it. Here we go. In Under the Eye of the Clock by Christopher Nolan, the main character is a young man who is facing some extraordinary challenges. There's this one part where someone helps him, a kid in his class. On the surface, it's a small gesture, but to this young man whose name is Joseph, it's, well, if you'll permit me to read. He cleared his throat and read from the book. It was at moments such as these that Joseph recognized the face of God in human form. It glimmered in their kindness to him. It glowed in their keenness. It hinted in their caring. Indeed, it caressed in their gaze. He paused and took off his reading glasses again. It glimmered in their kindness to him, he repeated, smiling. Such a simple thing, kindness. Such a simple thing. A nice word of encouragement given when needed. An act of friendship, a passing smile. He closed the book, put it down, and leaned forward on the podium. Children, what I want to impart to you today is an understanding of the value that simple thing called kindness. And that's all I want to leave you with today. I know I'm kind of infamous for my verbosity. Here, everyone laughed again. I guess he knew he was known for his long speeches. But what I want you, my students, to take away from the middle school experience, he continued, is the sure knowledge that in the future you make for yourselves, anything is possible. If every single person in this room made it a rule that wherever you are, whenever you can, you will try to act a little kinder than is necessary, the world really would be a better place. And if you do this, if you act just a little kinder than is necessary, someone else, somewhere, someday may recognize in you and every single one of you the face of God. He paused and shrugged. Or whatever is politically correct, spiritual representation of universal goodness you may happen to believe in, he added, quickly smiling, which got a lot of laughs and loads of applause, especially from the back of the auditorium where the parents were sitting. Awards. I like Mr. Tushman's speech, but I have to admit I kind of zoned out a little during some of the other speeches. I tuned in again as Miss Rubin started reading off the names for the kids who made the honor roll because we were supposed to stand up when our names were called. So I waited and listened for my name as she went down the list alphabetically. Reed Kingsley, Maya Markowitz, August Pullman, I stood up. Then when she finished reading all the names, she asked us all to face the audience and take a bow, and everyone applauded. I had no idea where in the huge crowd my parents might be sitting. All I could see were the flashes of light from people taking photos and parents waving at their kids. I pictured Mom waving at me from somewhere, even though I couldn't see her. Then Mr. Tushman came back to the podium to present the medals for academic excellence, and Jack was right. Yamina Chen won the gold medal for overall academic excellence in fifth grade. Charlotte won the silver. Charlotte also won a gold medal for music. Amos won the medal for overall excellence in sports, which I was really happy about, because ever since the nature retreat, I considered Amos to be like one of my best friends in school. But I was really, really thrilled when Mr. Tushman called out Summer's name for the gold medal in creative writing. I saw Summer put her hand over to her mouth when her name was called, and when she walked up on the stage, I yelled, "Woohoo, Summer!" as loudly as I could. Though I don't think she heard me. After the last name was called, all the kids who just won awards stood next to each other on the stage, and Mr. Tushman said to the audience, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am very honored to present to you this year's Beecher Prep School Scholastic Achievers. Congratulations to you all." I applauded as the kids on stage bowed. I was so happy for Summer. "The final award this morning," said Mr. Tushman, after the kids on stage had returned to their seats, "is the Henry Ward Beecher Medal to honor students who have been notable or exemplary in certain areas throughout the school year. Typically, this medal has been our way of acknowledging volunteerism or service to the school." I immediately figured Charlotte would get this medal because she organized the coat drive this year, so I kind of zoned out a bit again. I looked at my watch, 10:56. I was getting hungry for lunch already. Henry Ward Beecher was, of course, the 19th century abolitionist and a fire sermonizer for human rights, after whom this school was named. Mr. Tushman was saying when I started paying attention again. While reading up on his life in preparation for this award, I came across a passage that he wrote that seemed particularly consistent with the themes I touched on earlier, themes I've been ruminating upon all year long. Not just the nature of kindness, but the nature of one's kindness, the power of one's friendship, the test of one's character, the strength of one's courage. And here, the weirdest thing happened. Mr. Tushman's voice cracked a bit, like he got all choked up. He actually cleared his throat and took a big sip of water. I started paying attention for real now to what he was saying. The strength of one's courage, he repeated quietly, nodding and smiling. He held up his right hand like he was counting off. Courage, kindness, friendship, character. These are all qualities that define us as human beings and propel us, on occasion, to greatness. And this is what the Henry Ward Beecher Medal is about, recognizing greatness. But how do we do that? How do we measure something like greatness? Again, there's no yardstick for that kind of thing. How do we even define it? Well, Beecher actually has an answer for that. He put his reading glass on again, leafed through a book, and started to read. Greatness, wrote Beecher, lies not in being strong, but in the right using of strength. He is the greatest whose strength carries up the most hearts. And again, out of the blue, he got all choked up. He put his two index fingers over his mouth for a second before continuing. He is the greatest, he finally continued, whose strength carries up the most hearts by the attraction of his own. Without further ado, this year, I am very proud to award the Henry Ward Beecher Medal to the student whose quiet strength has carried up the most hearts. So will August Pullman please come up here to receive this award? Floating. People started applauding before Mr. Tushman's words actually registered in my brain. I heard Maya, who was next to me, give a little happy scream when she heard my name, and Miles, who was on the other side, patted my back. Stand up, get up, said the kids all around me, and I felt lots of hands pushing me upward out of my seat, guiding me to the edge of the row, patting my back, high-fiving me. Way to go, Augie! Nice going, Augie! I even started hearing my name being chanted. Augie, Augie, Augie. I looked back and saw Jack leading the chant, fist in the air, smiling and signaling for me to keep going, and Amos shouting through his hands, "Woohoo, little dude!" Then I saw Summer smiling as I walked past her row, and when she saw me look at her, she gave me a secret little thumbs up and mouthed a silent, "Cool beans" to me. I laughed and shook my head like I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. I think I was smiling. Maybe I was beaming. I don't know. As I walked up the aisle toward the stage, all I saw was a blur of happy, bright faces looking at me and hands clapping for me, and I heard people yelling out things at me like, "You deserve it, Augie! Good for you, Augie!" I saw all my teachers in the aisle seats, Mr. Brown and Miss Potosa and Mr. Roche and Miss Antanabe and Nurse Molly and all the others, and they were all cheering for me, woohooing and whistling. I felt like I was floating. It was so weird, like the sun was shining full force on my face and the wind was blowing. As I got closer to the stage, I saw Miss Rubin waving at me in the front row, and then next to her was Mrs. G, who was crying hysterically, happy crying, smiling and clapping the whole time. And as I walked up the steps to the stage, the most amazing thing happened. Everyone started standing up, not just the front rows, but the whole audience suddenly got up on their feet, whooping, hollering, clapping like crazy. It was a standing ovation for me. I walked across the stage to Mr. Tushman, who shook my hand with both hands and whispered in my ear, "Well done, Augie." Then he placed the gold medal over my head, just like they do in the Olympics, and he had me turn to face the audience. I felt like I was watching myself in a movie almost. Like I was someone else. It was the last scene in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, when Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Chewbacca are being applauded for destroying the Death Star. I could almost hear the Star Wars theme music playing in my head as I stood on stage. I wasn't even sure why I was getting this medal, really. No, that's not true. I knew why. It's like people you see sometimes. You can't imagine what it would be like to be that person, whether it's somebody in a wheelchair or somebody who can't talk. Only I know that I'm that person to other people, maybe to every single person in that whole auditorium. To me, though, I'm just me, an ordinary kid. But hey, if they want to give me a medal for being me, that's okay. I'll take it. I didn't destroy a Death Star or anything like that, but I did just enough through get through the fifth grade. And that's not easy, even if you're not me. Pictures. Afterward, there was a reception for the fifth and sixth graders under a huge white tent at the back of the school. All the kids found their parents, and I didn't mind at all when Mom and Dad hugged me like crazy, or when Via wrapped her arms around me and swung me left and right about 20 times. And Papa and Tata hugged me, and Aunt Kate and Uncle Poe and Uncle Ben, everyone kind of teary-eyed and wet-cheeked. But Miranda was the funniest. She was crying more than anyone and squeezed me so tight that Via had to practically pry her off me, which made them both laugh. Everyone started taking pictures of me and pulling out their flips, and then Dad got me, Summer, and Jack together for a group shot. We put our arms around each other's shoulders, and for the first time I can remember, I wasn't even thinking about my face. I was just smiling a big, fat, happy smile for all the different cameras clicking away at me. Flash, flash, click, click. Smiling away as Jack's parents and Summer's mom started clicking. Then Reed and Maya came over, flash, flash, click, click. And then Charlotte came over and asked if she could take a picture with us, and we were like, sure, of course. And then Charlotte's parents were snapping away at our little group along with everyone else's parents. And the next thing I knew, the two Maxes had come over, and Henry and Miles and Savannah. Then Amos came over and Ximena, and we were all in this big, tight huddle as parents clicked away like we were on a red carpet somewhere. Luca, Isaiah, Nino, Pablo, Tristan, Ellie. I lost track of who else came over. Everybody, practically. All I knew for sure is that we were all laughing and squeezing in tight against each other, and no one seemed to care if my face was next to theirs or not. In fact, I don't mean to brag here, but it kind of felt like everyone wanted to get close to me. The walk home. We walked to our house for cake and ice cream after the reception, Jack and his parents and his little brother Jamie, Summer and her mother, Uncle Poe and Aunt Kate, Uncle Ben, Tata and Papa, Justin and Via and Miranda, Mom and Dad. It was one of those great June days when the sky is completely blue and the sun is shining, but it isn't so hot that you wish you were on the beach instead. It was just the perfect day. Everyone was happy. I still felt like I was floating, the Star Wars hero music in my head. I walked with Summer and Jack, and we just couldn't stop cracking up. Everything made us laugh. We are in that giddy kind of mood where all someone has to do is look at you and you start laughing. I heard Dad's voice up ahead and looked up. He was telling everyone a funny story as they walked down Amesworth Avenue. The grown-ups were all laughing too. It was like Mom always said, Dad could be a comedian. I noticed Mom wasn't walking with the group of grown-ups, so I looked behind me. She was hanging back a bit, smiling to herself like she was thinking of something sweet. She seemed happy. I took a few steps back and surprised her by hugging her as she walked. She put her arms around me and gave me a squeeze. Thank you for making me go to school, I said quietly. She hugged me close and leaned down and kissed the top of my head. Thank you, Augie, she said softly. For what? For everything you've given us, she said. For coming into our lives, for being you. She bent down and whispered in my ear, you really are a wonder, Augie. You are a wonder. And sadly, that is the very end of Wonder. I hope that you enjoyed this story, and I hope you have a wonderful summer. Goodbye, everyone.